I'm very happy that you are all seated here. You managed to take all the seats. It's unique. Welcome to the Maltese Parliament. First of all, I want to tell you that this is the first time that I think it's the first time that we are having you all here as a EU model parliament, you know. This is the first sitting that you have. We had a lot of sittings for students, but this is the first sitting for you. And I'm very pleased that we are having you here. I know that you come from all countries in Europe, Maltese, Croatian, Italian, whatever, you name them all. We are 28. As you know, Malta is the smallest country in the European Union. We're not even 500,000 population. Well, we're closing to 500,000, but not yet. However, we are quite, although we are small, we have a quite efficient parliament. I mean, I want to say that parliament, which sits regularly here, in fact, they're sitting in the afternoons at 4 o'clock, but in regard to expediency, I think we are either number 2 or number 3 among the 28 where a number of laws are passed every year in Parliament. It is one of the highest expedient Parliament in the 28. In fact, according to the Lisbon Treaty, as you know, the national parliaments, the Maltese parliament and the other national parliaments, have also the right and duty to report to the European institutions, that is the Council, the Commission and Parliament, reasoned opinions if any directive or regulation that is being suggested by the EU institutions goes against the principle of subsidiarity. That is, this is an important issue with regards to the influence of the national parliaments within the EU institutions. And about 3 or 4 years ago, Malta was rated number 3 among the 28 with regards to the recent opinions that it submitted. So I'm giving you areas where the Maltese Parliament is efficient. Of course, we meet regularly. We are 67 members here, 37 for the government and 30 for the opposition, of course, not including me as Speaker of the House. We only have one camera, not 2 cameras. I mean, in your countries, you might have one, but there are many other countries that have 2. That is the Parliament and the Senate, or the Upper House. Like in England, for example, House of Commons and the House of Lords, or in Italy, Camera dei Deputati e il Senato. We used to have 2 cameras up to 1932. And then we opted for the unicameral. Well, there are advantages and disadvantages. But of course, the members of Parliament are elected by the people. They are not nominated or like, being appointed senatore di vita in Italy when you are not elected, or we don't have these things. You are elected, you represent the people. We also participate a lot in the international fora. As you know, we have 6 members in the European Union, in Parliament, like Cyprus and like Luxembourg. 4 of them from the Socialist Party, Socialist International, and 2 from the People's Party at the moment. They are very active, our members, in various committees. We are also very active in the Council of Europe, which, as you know, meets regularly also in Strasbourg. We do participate also in the International Parliamentary Union, which is the parliamentary groups of all the nations of the United Nations. We are, as you know, or if you don't know, it's important to know, we are part of also of the Commonwealth. I mean, Malta was a former colony of the, at the time, British Empire. And although we became independent in 1964, on the 21st of September, we are still part of the Commonwealth group of nations, which number over 75. Until last September, I was the president or the chairman of all these small nations of the Commonwealth, those countries or branches that have a population of less than 500,000. So Malta, Gibraltar, Bahamas, you know, there are 43 of them. So we do participate a lot in the Commonwealth because the values of the Commonwealth are particular values, which we cherish a lot. And also, as you know, you are following, I think, what's happening in England. They have got the elections on the 12th of December, with regards to the Brexit and all that. However, we do cherish a lot of things, and we participate in a lot of discussions that are common among Commonwealth countries. So Malta is a particular member in the EU, but with strong relationship with Britain as being part of the Commonwealth. And this is something which has a lot of added values, not only political, but also with regards to other areas. So I want to mention that. We are very active in the Commonwealth. We are also active in the OSCE, which is the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, which organization include also the United States of America, Canada, and Russia, including the EU countries. However, historically, it is important that you, when you study, it's important that you do study and research the history of a particular country, because from the history of and the behavior of that particular country, you could deduce a lot of decisions why they are being taken in that direction. If you don't know the history, you cannot understand exactly why such a country is behaving that way. And one thing which we did as a country, and that's why I want to emphasize the point that it's not a matter why, how small you are or how big you are. It's a matter how you foresee particular situations. And irrespective of whether you are a small country or a large country or a very large country like the United States or Russia, if you don't foresee certain situations, the particular foresight of a small country can make all that difference. And I give you an example, which is the important. I am mentioning the OSCE, which is a very important organization for the security and cooperation in Europe and, of course, across. And when that was suggested to become in being in 1975, the conference was held in Helsinki. Anyone from Finland here? So it was held in your country, in Helsinki. And it was a very important conference because it was on that day that all the members had to decide how this conference, how this organization is to be becoming, is to become a very important organization for the future. And Malta vetoed the conference for many months because Malta wanted to include also the Mediterranean, that is the Arab countries, because the logic argument was you cannot have peace in the world if you don't have peace in the Mediterranean. Now, at that time, Malta was quite bullied by the big powers at that time, Soviet Union, of course, and the United States. And if you read the biography of Henry Kissinger, he's still alive. He was the Secretary of State of America, United States. And in his book, He mentions this situation in 2 pages among 374 pages of biography, which is quite important. And Malta won that argument after months of diplomatic relations and diplomatic issues between various countries. They accepted that in order to have a strong OSCE, you have to include all the Mediterranean countries, that is the Arab countries, Israel included, including Iran. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because at that time, we had already experienced the 1973 war between Israel and the Arab countries because of the Palestine issue. Imagine if these countries were not included in the OSCE, what would be the situation today? Even today, the situation in the Mediterranean is quite volatile. Look at Syria, look at Libya. Look at the Palestinian issue, which is still unresolved after 70 years. These people still have not yet their own statehood. So I'm giving you this example because irrespective of the country that you come from, you have to have a foresight to ensure with regards to peace. Now, I want to give you some statistics about what takes place in the parliament. I mean, as I'm telling you, we meet regularly, 3 times a week for sure. And there is also an opportunity for the opposition to have its own sitting on a Thursday after a number of weeks, to have a right to call a sitting. And the opposition, which they sit on that particular area. However, as you know, the seating now is more continental. That is, the right meets with the left, and the central meets with both sides. Before, when we were in the old parliament, we were more the House of Commons model. That is, confrontational. Government on one side, and the opposition on one side. But we are now more continental. However, the opposition has a right to have its own sitting on a Thursday, particular Thursday, with its own agenda. Generally, we discuss private members' bill, opposition motions or private members' motions. As I was saying, when we started this legislature, just after the last general election, it was in 2017, in May 2017, June, May, we already passed from this parliament in just 2 years, 2.5 years, over 80 laws. Now that's why I told you we are quite, high up in the efficiency. Well, with regards to rulings, you know what is a ruling? It's just I give a decision on a particular issue. Sometimes, procedurally, it happens that in order for the discussion debate to continue, the speaker, that is myself, has to give a ruling about a particular procedural problem. And during my tenure as speaker till today, I already published 9 books about rulings. I gave close to 150 rulings, some of them quite lengthy, about particular areas which we need to do in order to have the debate on moving, because the speaker role is to ensure that debate will continue. Generally, we follow the House of Commons model. So in the absence of a standing order, that is, the standing orders are the directions that are part of the procedure that we have to follow. In the absence of a clear standing order, we have to refer to what takes place in the House of Commons. This is part of the standing order, standing order 194. However, what happens in the absence that the House of Commons do not have a solution? So we did have that problem. So what I did is, I I refer also to other models in the House, in the Commonwealth, and also continental. But we gave a lot of rulings. However, parliamentary questions are important. As you know, in every sitting, the Prime Minister and the Ministers, who generally sit here, they are asked questions by all the members, including members from the government, the backbenchers. Nearly 10 to 12,000 questions were submitted. And clearly, more than 10,000 were answered. So you can follow how much work is done here. We have a lot of parliamentary committees. That is not only the plenary here, which is the main parliament. There are parliamentary committees where particular areas are intensively debated and discussed. We have the foreign European and Foreign Affairs Committee, Social Affairs Committee, Family Committee, Health Committee, number. We are close to 70 parliamentary committees. They are very active. Well, Parliament started in Malta after the uprising of the 7th of June 1919, which is a national day in Malta. Before 1919, there was no Parliament. When there was the uprising of the Maltese against the British rule, and people were shot dead in Republic Street, before it used to be called Kingsway. Then the British realized that they had to do something, and we were given the first British constitution, which is called the Emery Milner Constitution, in 1921. So in 1921, you have the photographs here, the historic photographs, as you come in the second floor on the passageway. There is a photograph of the first sitting of the National Assembly. That is just called the National Assembly. That was in 1921. We became independent, as I said, in 1964. However, we became independent, but we were given a monarchical constitution. That is, the head of the government, the head of the state, was the Queen. That was in 1964. Of course, we all respect the Queen. We love the Queen Elizabeth. In fact, the place where she used to live now has been bought by the government in order to turn that house into a museum. She used to live as a princess in Malta and Guardamangia for quite a number of months. However, in 1974, in December, on the 13th of December, 1974, the constitution of Malta was changed again from an independent monarchy to an independent republic. That is, the head of the state became a president of the republic, elected from parliament. That is the second time that there was a change of constitution. The third time that was changed was, as you know, or perhaps you don't know because you are foreigners, most of you, Malta had a lot of military bases, British military bases, and these were closed once and for all on the 31st of March 1979. So Malta became completely independent republic and non-allied, no military bases. However, there was also a change of constitution where the neutrality clause, that is, Malta was declared as being constitutionally neutral. That was in the early 80s, 1984, where Malta became completely independent, republic and neutral, and then, as you know, in 2003 and 2004, became part of the European Union as full members. However, with a special status that we do not form part of any military alliance. We're not part of the NATO. And, of course, we are not part of any defense alliance because we are neutral. And this is a particular area which is very sensitive. Constitutionally, it's very interesting. However, we kept on doing a lot of important foreign initiatives. For example, when there was the Libyan crisis, that was in 7-8 years ago, when there was the fall of Gaddafi and all that, we received the wounded. We received all those who left Libya, irrespective whether they are Indian or American or French or Chinese or Taiwanese, whatever. We received them all in order to repatriate to their own country. We received the wounded. We didn't ask the wounded whether he was supporting Gaddafi or was against Gaddafi. Why? Because we were neutral. We didn't have sides. We mediate. We believe in peace. So I have to stop here because I keep on talking. You know, we are tend to who involve ourselves in political life in democracy, we tend to continue on talking. But I want to question on a particular issue. We used to have members of parliament who never stopped talking. I remember many years ago, I mean, when I was in parliament 23, 24 years ago, when I was elected the first time, we used to have members where they asked for leave of house. Now, leave of house is there will be no objection from the floor that he can continue to talk. And I remember particular members of parliament who kept on talking for hours and hours. Imagine. And we did address this, I mean, during my tenure as speaker, you can only talk now up to 30 minutes. 30 minutes is the maximum. And I think I already took nearly 25 minutes, so I'm closing to 30 minutes. I thank you very much. If you have any questions, please, I will have some time for your questions or any area which you want me to address. I try to recapitulate both the historical approach of our parliament and also with regards to international forum. All of you are happy? Okay. Good luck. He asked me, who was the person who spent hours talking and talking. Of course, he was quite an important figure because when he kept talking, nobody wanted to stop him. Everybody wants to listen to what he's saying. But I have to tell you, it was in 1997, 98, and the person was, of course, the former Prime Minister Domintov. Spent hours and hours and hours, and I was chairing, because at the time I was the chair of the committees, and I was acting on behalf of the speaker at the time, a Madam Speaker.